it's been a minute since we had four. So
I'm trying not to drag us down.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. It's been a busy few weeks for Bayern Munich. The Bavarians wrapped up their sextuple by winning the Club World Cup, then returned to Munich to announce the future signing of RB Leipzig defender Dayo Upamecano. And for those questioning whether or not such a purchase is even necessary, Bayern's 3-3 draw with Arminia Bielefeld on Monday, and then David Alaba's official announcement today that he will be leaving the club in the summer, should put to rest any doubts. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about that with all of my friends. That's right, we're all back together. Garrett Kerber.
Hello again.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And of course, Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Well, like I said, guys, a lot has gone on since we last met. Several games have taken place. Bayern Munich have won their sixth championship of the 2020 season, but even though it is a little bit later. But then today was probably some of the biggest news that's come out since then, and so that's where we will start. David Alaba has officially announced that he will be leaving Bayern Munich in the summer. Now, that's not really a surprise to a lot of people. It's kind of been something that we've all known for a while. However, it's now official. It's announced he's going to be moving on. We don't know where. Tim brought this up in the chat earlier, and I think it's something that it was good to bring up. It's easy to talk about David Alaba leaving the club and just simply look to the future and say, okay, what's next? But I think that would do a bit of a disservice to him as a player. And so it's been obvious for a while, Tim, I'm going to come to you, that he was going to leave. But the question has to be asked now, how's he going to be remembered at the club after his departure? He's been such an important part of this team for so long, for probably over a decade, played an important role in two trebles at this point. So despite everything that's been going on in the past year with his contract situation, with him leaving the club this summer, how do you think he's going to be looked back on and remembered?
It's a very good question, and it's a difficult one to answer as well, because I think there's certainly, I guess, two camps in terms of the people that see him as the guy that's worked really, really hard for the club for so long and so consistently, and then as you mentioned, like, it isn't a matter of like, okay, so Thiago's leaving, what do we do now? Or okay, so we've lost Mats Hummels to Dortmund, what do we do now? This is a guy that's been part of the team, or part of the system, like the whole Bayern club for like at least 10, 11, probably getting on for about 14 years now, bar like a loan spell at Hoffenheim. This is a long-serving player. I think up there with Müller, he is probably the second longest-serving player at the club, which is, I think that's right anyway. If it's not, he's certainly one of the longest-serving. So I think there is a number of ways that you can look at it. The first one is, this is a guy that was holding out for more money. I'm glad that he's going, which I don't think is, I don't want to tell anybody that they should support a team or they should support a player in any particular way. But I do think thinking of it in that quite, I guess I'd say like short-sighted way, does a huge disservice to everything that's come before. So I personally think that the amount of money that he was asking for at Bayern was ridiculously high, especially considering some of the performances that he was putting in. Like, don't get me wrong, I think he did a really great job in the Champions League, bar a couple of like wobbles here and there. And I think because he's been under such scrutiny around this money, I think people have been very harsh on his performances this season. I think for the most part, he's been all right this season. Yeah, he's not been, 20 million euros a year all right, but I think that's a standard that not many people can reach. So I think there's one way that you can look at it in terms of he's in it for the money, like, what a terrible guy, like, he's just trying to secure the bag, like, I'm glad that he's going. And I think there's a slightly more, I don't know, I guess, like, my way of looking at it is something that I imagine would probably be, and again, I don't want to, you know, create any division between, or well, we've been supporting the club longer than these guys have, so like we've got the right opinion. But I do think people that have been supporting the club for a little longer, that have seen him arrive at the club and develop into, you know, one of the best left backs in the world, and then become a leader on the pitch. I think that's actually like a soundbite that I can remember Sebastian saying like a very long time ago, is that David Alaba's become like a leader on the pitch. I think this was on like one of our earlier episodes. I think what he's become is a testament to his dedication to the club. And yeah, I don't think that he's asking for a reasonable amount of money from the club. But at the same time, I think it was a matter of like, I would like to go somewhere else. If I do stay here, this is what I would like. You know, it's not great. And especially now, I think like the word greed can get thrown around quite easily. But I do think that he has kind of earned the right to bow out in this manner. Like, I think guys like him and Ribery and Robin, who have worked so hard for the club and have given so much, you know, for better or worse. Like, I can remember Ribery having some really bad games. I can remember Robin having some really terrible games. And I think to expect Alaba to have delivered world-class performance after world-class performance and then leave for free, I think that's, you know, that's too much of a tall order. I think he leaves Bayern as somebody who is, you know, without doubt in the top, I guess like maybe top 30 players of all time. And like Bayern's been around for well over 100 years now. That's a very long list of players. And so the fact that this guy's come through the academy, has been so consistent and so dedicated, if he wants to try something new, he's been here since he was like, what, 16? And he's been in the club since he was about, or he's been a first team player since he was about 18. I think he's well earned the right to do this. I'm not happy about it. I'd like for him to have stayed longer, but sadly, that's not how things go. It's a shame that it's ended in this way, but in my perspective, from my perspective, I should say, there's literally no hard feelings.
That is a, it's really well put. And like you mentioned in the chat, it would be a shame just to kind of gloss over him leaving and not speak up. And you know, what's been going on over the past several months with the media and everything has probably left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. It definitely left a bad taste in mine. But like you said, he's not only one of the best, you know, maybe top 30 Bayern players ever, but he's on that very somewhat rare list nowadays of players who came out of the academy and were able to hold down a starting position for several years. I mean, I think he's the last one to come out of the Bayern Academy and do something like that. And so before we move on, I guess I just want to open it up to Garrett, Sebastian, if you have anything to add about David Alaba and the whole situation with him leaving. Maybe you take on a different perspective from Tim and you do think the way that he's going kind of mars what he's accomplished, that's fine. But anything to add on the David Alaba conversation?
Yeah, I want to add something. First, definitely, he has been a great player for such a long time, and there's nothing that's going to really completely destroy that or anything. First, I want to make this really clear, because he has been the best on his position for 10 years. I would not go that far, or for roughly a decade, but he has been a good, in his worst times, he has been a good player. During his best times, he has been world class on his position. So there's no taking that away. But what I find a bit concerning is, I think I was already pretty much ready to completely forgive him, but he's somehow managing to, well, keep me not being able to forgive him completely. I mean, look at this press conference now. This was a bit of a joke, right? Wasn't it? I mean, what was this press conference about? We all knew he was leaving. The one information that everybody was waiting for was, where is he going? But we didn't get anything on that. So the only thing he did on his press conference was say a lot of things that everybody knows is not true. Being pretty fake about it, really. I don't know. I don't want to be harsh. I don't want to be unfair here. Yeah, but I think that's really what it is there, right? everybody asked him to stay. Okay, yeah, maybe. But like, he's not even saying there are more important factors than the money. He's saying money didn't play a role at all. So what is it now? If that's the case, he could have told the club like half a year ago at least. And then the club could have told the fans at some point, and there would have been no fighting to keep him or anything like that, right? So this whole strategy that we had seen, like asking that much. I mean, even if some of the details are wrong, this is not complete fantasy, right? So he's having this press conference just to say things, a lot of which just aren't true. And the other things he said, really, who cares? Because there was no real information. This was, well, what real information was there? Really nothing. This was just things we either already knew or that are not really interesting. So, yeah. And I fear, I mean, I would probably be ready to forgive him again if this just ends. And if he just does a good job at his new place, acts like a decent player, a decent human being. But at the rate that he's doing this right now, I think he's probably going to annoy me a lot in the future too. So I really hope he doesn't. I really hope he gets back to being a normal, fine guy. Like, just, yeah, doing things you would expect out of a normal football player. And then I'm ready to forgive him, but I'm just not sure if that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think there's just got to be more time between what has just occurred and what's been going on for the last year with him, and being able to look back fondly on it. I think it's like any relationship that, you know, if you're in a relationship for a good number of years, and I'm not talking about like romantic relationships, but just any sort of thing. I mean, like, if you know, if you're at a business, you work at a job for several years and you have a lot of really good years, but then it just kind of ends poorly, it's going to leave a bad taste in your mouth, and that I think is fine. I just think that there's got to be more time, at least for me, there's got to be more time between how this has all gone down and being able to look back on it. And I hope that this is the beginning of that kind of healing process, to be able to look at it in a positive light. Because I think you're right, Tim. I think that you can't, it shouldn't completely destroy the way that you viewed David Alaba at Bayern, because of the last year, how that's gone, somewhat privately. But I do think that maybe, given how Thiago left the club, if money wasn't the issue, that's the way you should have gone about doing it. It was very clear with Thiago when he was going to leave that it wasn't a money thing. He had already had a contract drawn up. He was going to sign it, decided not to, decided he wanted something different, kind of let that be known, and everything was fine. And it was upsetting that he had to leave, but like, I don't know of too many people that hold too hard of feelings against him for leaving. Now, you know, where he went, you know, if you hate Liverpool, then that's one thing. We all wished he would have stayed. I think, well, I say we all kind of loosely, but I think most of us wished he would have stayed because he was a valuable player. He's a really good player. Same thing with David Alaba, except now with all this other stuff. And like you said, Sebastian, with some things that just on the face of it seem at the very least, just blatantly dishonest and kind of like, why are we even doing this? We already know he's leaving. And I don't know who set the press conference up or why, or anything like that, but it does leave a bad taste. And I hope that through the course of the rest of the season, we can kind of put that in the past and just say, okay, thanks for your time. We know that you are playing hard for this team. And like he said, he wants to leave, Byron with more trophies. Great. Let's do that. Let's get to the end of the season. Say so long. Thanks for your time at the club. And then come next season, I can look back with a little bit more fondness on David Alaba, just because, yeah, I just need a little bit of space for a little bit. That's basically what it comes down to.
I mean, I think I'm good with it as long as he doesn't turn it into like the dog and pony show and have another announcement for his club or another press conference or, kind of have the decision to 2.0.
Yeah, like don't make it like a drug out, like
yeah.
a manufactured, like, okay, bye-bye, let's do a victory lap sort of thing.
Right.
Because it's one thing to leave. And that's fine. Like you want different experiences. You want to go outside of Germany and play and all those things. Great. More power to you. It's just like, let's not manufacture the moments. Let's let them happen organically and just kind of, it is what it is, you know?
Right. I think that's probably enough talking about someone who's going to leave, especially since we still have him for the remainder of the season. But let's talk about someone who will be joining Bayern in the summer, and that's RB Leipzig defender Dayo Upamecano, who has a 42.5 million euro release clause at RB Leipzig that Bayern Munich have confirmed that they will activate after agreeing terms on a 5-year contract with Upamecano and his agent. And I got to say, at the very beginning, first of all, I'm a huge fan of this deal. I think I've said it for a couple months now that Upamecano is, number one on my transfer list after we brought in Leroy Sané. So I'm a huge fan of that. But I'm also just a really big fan of the way Bayern got this deal done. It was no long, drawn-out transfer saga. There were some rumors, but nothing concrete. And then out of nowhere, just a small confirmation from Hasan Salihamidžić, yeah, we're going to buy Upamecano. And that was it. They announced it the next day, nothing special. That was really, really great to see. But Sebastian, as a player, would you agree with me that Upamecano is about exactly the player that Bayern Munich need to be bringing in the summer? Do you think he's a good replacement for David Alaba? Is he going to make a significant or provide significant help to kind of the ongoing defensive issues at Bayern Munich?
Yeah, I was going to say yes, he is, but then you brought Alaba into the question, so I need to change what I was about to say a little bit, because obviously he's not going to bring everything to the table that Alaba brought, right? He's obviously not going to be a left back. He's obviously not going to be a central midfielder. That's pretty clear, but that's, well, central midfielder is probably also what we need, but this is not what we want out of Upamecano, of course. What he does do is, I think he's the better center back than Alaba is. And I must say, he's kind of your model center back, in my opinion. He's not one of those very tall, very strong guys like Süle. He's just your kind of ideal center back, I feel. He's very elegant with his play. He's also very athletic. I feel his movement is just great, right? People like Süle, they can sometimes, can look a bit weird doing some things on the pitch. With Upamecano, really nothing like that. He's really, I feel he's a very level-headed guy too. So in terms of character, as far as we as mere fans obviously can judge that, I can only say good things about him so far. And he's really the kind of player we're looking for. And as you said, I feel the way that this transfer was done also gives me a very good feeling that, let's look at how Upamecano handled that, right? He said, okay, I want to make a decision like mid-February. And that's what he did. So he looked at the offers, he talked to people, and then he made his decision when he wanted to make his decision. No playing games, no weird tactics, no kind of playing one against the other or something like that. Just a really no-nonsense decision, thinking about, okay, what's the best for my future? Where do I want to go? And then he did it the way he planned it. And this just also gives me a good feeling about the guy. I'm usually not the biggest fan of signing too many players from the Bundesliga because I feel like this is kind of simple. This is just going the easy way, taking a player that knows the Bundesliga, that is kind of, I mean, compared to getting someone from the Premier League, for example, might be kind of cheap sometimes if you're doing it right. But yeah, I think this is not always the way to go because, yeah, this doesn't get you to that very top level. You need to, yeah, look other places. You need to broaden your vision there, I feel. But yeah, in this case, it's definitely on point. I don't think I could come up with a better prospect for center back for the future. I think he's also the right age, of course. Let's also add that. So yeah, he really ticks all the boxes for me, at least. The perfect player for me for this center back position. And I think right now, as our center backs are playing right now, he's the first starter at center back, I think. Maybe, of course, that I would hope that kind of changes over the season. I would hope that our center backs that are already here are going to improve a bit. But as things are, he's the first guy I would put in on our center back position there.
Well, see, that's actually an interesting question. That's where I'm gonna turn it over to Tim at this point, in just a second. But I do agree. It's hard to say, you know, it's hard to say he would easily be our number one center back without seeing him play at the team at all. But based on what he's done at Leipzig, as well as the form of all of our central defenders, it's easy to say that he would walk right into the starting lineup. And so my question, Tim, is do you think now this is extra pressure on Lucas Hernandez and even Niklas Süle, maybe even to an extent Jerome Boateng, if he wants to stay at the club to really step up their game for the remainder of the season? Do you think that this could maybe push to get more out of those guys for the rest of the year?
It's certainly pressure on Süle. He's been inconsistent since he had that injury. Well, since he got back from his injury last season, I think. Like, he's not really put together. I don't think he's really put two really good performances in one after the other. I think the way that he played against Bielefeld was erratic, is maybe the only word that I can describe. At one moment, he looked all right, and then the rest of it, he did not. I think his position is, you know, it kind of probably the most up for debate in terms of the back line. I think the way that we've seen Lucas Hernandez play, not just yesterday, but I think yesterday was probably his worst game against Bielefeld. But I think for the most part, he's been fine. He's been exactly what we expected. He's very aggressive. He's good going forward. He's like kind of like underappreciated going forward, I think. Seeing him play as a left back, I think I'm certainly guilty of saying like, oh, he's not as good going forward as Alphonso Davies is. I don't think he is, but he's still good. I think his position is very much set as being one of the players in that back line, almost certainly like the left centre back. I think I don't know if we'll talk about it in a bit, but there's also rumours that Bayern are getting in Omar Richards from Reading. And so there's every possibility that Bayern see him as somebody that can take over, or maybe not necessarily take over, but provide an option at the left back position to rotate for Alphonso Davies. So I think Lucas Hernandez's position is very much set as being the guy to take over where David Alaba currently is. In terms of where Upamecano will fit in, I think it is fairly safe to say that it will be Upamecano. He will take over Niklas Süle's role, just because if he has to go in as a definite starter and say, okay, whose position does he take? Right now, I really don't think it's up for debate. He will take over Süle's position. And he's fast enough to play as a right back. So, and then maybe he could take over Pavard's position, but I don't think that's what he's being brought in as.
Yeah,
and I can also imagine that one of the caveats for Boateng potentially signing an extension is you will not be playing anywhere near as much as normal, which sounds quite aggressive. That's probably why I don't deal in player negotiation. But yeah, I think Upamecano fits in effortlessly in that right centre-back role.
I think so too. And I actually think he's played, if I'm not mistaken, I think he plays more on the left centre-back role at RB Leipzig. So just to kind of show he has the diversity, kind of like Mats Hummels used to do at Bayern, play on the left, even though he's right-footed, because they're adept at that. But I would be inclined to agree. I do think that Hernandez and Upamecano would probably, right now, be the center back choice that I would go with. That being said, I'm not convinced Hernandez has been as consistent, has been significantly more consistent than even Nicolas Sulla has. But I do want to come back to you, Tim, because you brought up something really quick, talking about Omar Richards, and nothing official yet, as it has been with Upamecano, but all reports indicate that Bayern have an agreement with Omar Richards, a left back playing at Reading, to join in the summer as well. And so, Tim, as a Richards yourself and also as our resident Brit, can you tell us anything about Omar Richards, what we should be looking forward to, what we can expect out of him? Is he going to be a significant challenger to Alphonso Davies at left back, or is this, by all indication, just a backup kind of player?
Yeah, I got no idea. I can speak for his name.
You haven't done your scouting.
That's about it. No, sadly not. I don't watch the Championship, which I guess kind of negates me from the conversation that we're probably about to have about Max Aarons.
Yeah.
But I asked on Twitter, and a Reading fan, Ben Warden, at WB Warden, or at WBW Arden, I don't know. He says that Omar Richards is improving year on year. He's extremely comfortable on the ball, quick, not afraid of a tackle, wins lots of free kicks. The only weakness that I can see is in the air, deserves to do well. And so that's great. I think it's, as it kind of follows on from what Sebastian was saying about, you know, getting transfers from within the Bundesliga. It's interesting to see Bayern turn their attention to the Championship, like not even the Premier League. They're actually looking at the division below the Premier League. So I'm all for this. And also because it means that it potentially opens up the avenue to have both of our fullbacks be called Richards at one point. It's like a dream come true for me. But it's something to look forward to, I guess. Like it can really only have an upside. I can't imagine that he's being brought in to, you know, dethrone Alphonso Davies, because
no one can.
I think, yeah, exactly. So I think it would purely be for rotation. And if, you know, if hypothetically it works out, fantastic. And if he does end up taking over from Alphonso Davies, which again is unlikely, that's a really great position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't, fine. Like it's really not the end of the world. We've got a young guy who, you know, this my good friend Ben Warden has suggested will only get better and better. I think you very much have the luxury of time on your side there.
And you can never, at least, you know, from my opinion, you can never complain about a free transfer coming in. You know, even if they are just a backup, getting a backup on a free transfer is just, that's great business from Bayern Munich, not expecting him to be a starter. So by all indications, seems like it'll be a good move should it pan out. So so we got Upamecano confirmed coming in. That helps shore up the central defense a lot. Omar Richards coming to kind of fill the gap that's going to be left by David Alaba at left back, at least. So now the question is, and I'm going to come to you, Sebastian, who's next, right? It really seems like Bayern have to make at least one more transfer. And given that Bayern Munich like to do their business early, it's not really that unrealistic to start talking about that right now. So what or who is next for Bayern Munich?
I really hope it's a right back. I think you already mentioned Aarons. I also sadly don't know a whole lot about the guy, but to be very honest here, I would be happy just to know we're getting a reasonable tier right back, and then I'm ready to overpay, really, because the worst thing that can happen is that again we don't get a real right back. We get a Bonassar who we don't believe in, apparently, and who doesn't give me many reasons to disagree. So, yeah, if I just could get a reasonably good right back, I'm perfectly ready to overpay. And I really hope that we find that guy. Aarons could be our guy. Why not? I just don't know enough about him, because as we have already said, I'm also not really watching the Championship. That's just how it is. Maybe I will start if this gets a bit more serious. Maybe I will have a look here and there, and then I'll know a bit more. I would be really happy to get a guy of this kind of level, at least. I think that's the right way to go. We need to aim for a right back who could be our starter, who's on the level to, well, be better or as good as Pavard, basically. Or be, let me phrase it like that, who's kind of as good as Pavard, but is an actual right back. So that would make me happy. And I think everything else is not quite as important. Of course, I would hope there are more things to come. I'm not too happy about rumors that we're going to keep Choupo-Moting, because I don't think he has given us much to feel like we need to keep him. Hasn't looked good in the last game, for example. Just kind of did nothing there, and there have been a number of games like that. So we might be in the market for another striker, of course, depending on what happens with Xerxes and so on. But this is not the most important topic right now. I also don't think that we are really in such a bad situation in central midfield, because we have a number of players there. We just don't exactly know what we have there with some of them. We might have one or two guys coming back to Bayern, who we might not be completely confident about, but that's way better than what we have at right back, because at right back we really just have Pavard and we have Bonassar, and that's about it, right? And in central midfield there's a pretty long list of people we could try there, we could use there. So I definitely think that right back is where it's at right now.
Yeah, I think we would all have to agree with you there that, you know, the next position that has to be focused on is right back. And there's really not a whole, there's very not very many right backs on the market right now who fit the bill of someone who can start on Bayern's level, but also offer something a little bit different than Benjamin Pavard. Because if we just wanted a purely defensive right back, we would just stick with Pavard. And I think Max Aarons is really the only name that fits the bill. And like you said, if we have to overpay, then we have to overpay. You know, you asked the question in the chat earlier, Sebastian, you know, is Max Aarons really worth 30 million euros? And my response is kind of, he may not be actually worth that much, but he's worth that much to Bayern. Just kind of saying that because the position needs to be filled so badly, yeah, I think he probably is worth that much to Bayern Munich. But like you said, midfield, I really only see us making any moves if someone goes out. Let's say we sell Corentin Tolisso. Okay, maybe now we look to Florian Neuhaus or someone else to bring in. But the focus definitely has to be at right back. So let's go ahead and talk about the Club World Cup for a second. Bayern Munich won the Club World Cup in Doha, making it 6 trophies for last season, something that has never been done at the club before. Really not a whole lot of note coming out of the tournament. A couple kind of, dare I say, boring wins, but you wouldn't expect anything less out of Bayern Munich going into that tournament. So, Garrett, maybe the best question is, you know, did this tournament kind of have a negative effect on the team for the rest of the season? I think we already saw parts of that in the game against Arminia Bielefeld, but do you think, ironically, winning another tournament actually hurt Bayern Munich for the remainder of the season?
I mean, I think you could probably make the argument, but the problem is if you're going to play the tournament, you got to win it. Like, right. I don't want to be going in and trying to explain to people, well, we weren't really trying and that's why we lost. You know, that seems kind of like sour grapes. And hey, I mean, you have a chance to make history and mm-hmm. be, you know, a six trophy winner in a, not a real calendar year, a weird calendar year, I guess. But yeah, I mean, you have to do it. So it's kind of one of those things where I think there's certainly potential that it could hurt them going forward. However, they aren't playing Pokal matches anymore.
True.
Unfortunately. So there's some matches kind of taken off the table. And now you do have, you know, the injury issues that have kind of cropped up, injury and illness issues that have kind of cropped up since then. So I don't know. I hope that it's going to end up being that it's just kind of a blip, and we will see, you know, a little bit of a of a downturn in form for a little bit, but you know, by the end of or by the time they ended up playing the Club World Cup matches, Bayern seemed to kind of be getting things going a little bit. Even if it wasn't super convincing, it seemed like, okay, stuff is kind of starting to come together. Hadn't given up one or two goals since, you know, mid-January or something. And so, you know, I just don't think that those two matches, given what the competition was, is really going to make a huge difference when it comes to March and April. We're sitting here thinking, oh, I wish we didn't win that tournament because look at, you know, XYZ. I just think that there's enough games in between now and then that it won't matter. There's a gap between us and Leipzig right now, although you would have hoped that gap would have stayed 7 points playing one of the worst teams in the Bundesliga. But, you know, here we are. And you're getting Goretzka back at some point here. So, I mean, we can't hold out the possibility that this isn't all just going to flip a switch and turn things on because, you know, the guy's coming back. So, but yeah, no, I don't worry about it too much. I think if you're going to play the tournament, you got to win it. So, I'm glad that they won it, and I'm glad that they took it relatively seriously. And that's about all I have to say on that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you know, where you're coming from. If you're going to play the tournament, might as well win it. I think more than anything, I think the tournament probably should have just been, if not canceled, postponed, played on a different date or something, because I definitely don't think the timing worked in Bayern Munich's favor. But like you said, we're out of the Pokal, so there's no more Pokal games. The extra rest will come, and really, the issues that Bayern are showing probably would have happened anyway. But let's talk about one more thing before we wrap it up. A week from today, Bayern Munich play their first round of 16 match against Lazio in the Champions League. And as of right now, it looks like they're going to be heading into that game without a few players. Like you just said, Gerrit Leon Goretzka is just now coming back from injury. He still hasn't even played in a match. We might see him this weekend, but we'll see about that. Thomas Müller is currently out due to coronavirus. It's not entirely sure yet whether or not he'll be back for the Lazio game, but I do think he will. And then Serge Gnabry, he's always also missing currently, and he's another one that it's not sure whether or not he'll make it back, but I think it's looking more negative than positive for him right now. And so, Tim, the question, you know, has to be asked, how confident are you feeling, you know, heading into that game a week from now, especially considering the players that we might be missing, or at the very least are missing significant amounts of training heading into that game?
It's going to be an interesting one. It's probably going to be a lot closer than a lot of people maybe imagined when the draw was first made. I think that when Lazio were drawn as Bayern's competitors, I think a lot of people probably were under the assumption that this is like one of the better names to draw against. Like, oh, they're just a team that gets a lot of penalties. That's why Immobile like won the Golden Boot last year. I don't think that's the case at all. I think this is a very well-organized team that Bayern could very easily struggle against. It was only mentioned very briefly, like about 5 minutes ago, but for a second, I forgot that we got knocked out of the cup a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's awful. I don't think enough is being made of that. Like, okay, it was on penalties, whatever. And I know that that whole thing's like, it's now very much in the past. But Bayern got knocked out of the cup. And at this point, they should really not be underestimating any team, whether it's a team from the second division, whether it's a newly promoted team in Armenia Bielefeld, whether it's a team in the Club World Cup, or whether it's a team that was giving Juventus a run for their money in the Italian League last season. I think Bayern need to be fully focused. And obviously missing people like Gnabry and Müller, like people that can deliver on a big stage. I think Gnabry's kind of one of these guys that's when it comes to like games that don't necessarily matter, he can maybe seem a little bit invisible. But when it comes to, you know, knockout stage of the Champions League, or, you know, you're down 1-0 in the group stages and you need a good result to get through, you can rely on him to do something. If he's going to be out, that's going to be a big problem, because he's almost like a guaranteed goal threat. Whether he scores or assists or not, he's somebody to make something happen. As for Thomas Müller as well, our attack seems to lack some form of creativity. I think that was pretty evident against Bielefeld. That, like, without Thomas Müller and certainly without Joshua Kimmich as well behind him, creating chances is virtually impossible, because the ball just goes out to Sané and Koeman, and they're just kind of left to do it themselves. I think missing Gnabry and Müller is going to be very difficult. I'm less concerned about missing Leon Goretzka at this point. I think that there's every chance that he will be fit for it again. I think if he's back training, then that's fine. But obviously, as you mentioned, there's like a deficit there, and, you know, potentially he could be a bit shaky. But I think in that position, as in one of the midfield positions, so the person that plays with Joshua Kimmich, that doesn't really concern me as much. It's more going forward and also the defence as well. Lazio have a tendency to attack down their left wing, which is Bayern's right. And if there's one thing that we've established over the past few weeks, that Bayern's right side is maybe lacking something. Maybe so I think that the midfield's probably going to be fine. Sorry?
I said, yeah, maybe just a little lacking on the right side.
Definitely. This is something, but then again, like, you know, Pavard's like coming into form. Obviously, he scored the goal in the Club World Cup final. But potentially that's kind of like good enough for him to be like, right, okay, I'm good again. But I think the problem that Bayern are going to be facing isn't in the midfield. I think what we saw with Mark Rocker when he filled in for Leon Goretzka was somebody that can do a very good job in the middle of the park. And it offers creativity for Joshua Kimmich. And having any form of creativity against, you know, the quintessential Italian defence is going to be very, very necessary. So the midfield isn't a problem, but I think missing both Serge Gnabry and Thomas Müller is going to be.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm inclined to think that if Thomas Müller is gone, that's, you know, arguably behind maybe Lewandowski, Neuer, and Kimmich, if you want to throw him in there, arguably the most important player that you could be losing. I don't think anyone offers exactly what Thomas Müller offers. That being said, I think he's also probably the most likely to be back and be fit. We really haven't heard anything on that front, but if it's, you know, if he can do his 10-day, 14-day quarantine, whatever it is, and then get back out and play, I think he should be good to go. Whereas with Serge Gnabry, he tends to take a while to, I guess, recover from the injuries that he gets. And so I'm not entirely optimistic that we'll be seeing him. And so, Sebastian, the question has to be asked, do you think that, you know, it's kind of now or never for Leroy Sané to step up and show why Bayern Munich bought him this past summer? I think that he started to do that against Bielefeld. But do you think the pressure is really mounting on him now in the upcoming games to kind of prove his worth, if you will?
Yeah, this is going to mean a lot of pressure for Sané, but also kind of for whoever is going to play in the middle, as long as Thomas Müller is not playing. I think these are the most important parts there. Koeman, I'm pretty confident that he's going to do a fine job, that he's going to play well. He's going to continue to play well, because, yeah, it is still a bit weird to me, but he's, yeah, pretty consistent by now. And I expect him to stay that way, even if we wouldn't have thought that a year ago. But yeah, it's definitely either Sané who's going to have to step up, or Musiala. But of course, if we look at those two players, Leroy Sané is the guy who has no excuses, and Musiala is the guy who has any number of excuses he needs. Even with the new contract around the corner, Sané is the guy who has to do his job. And Musiala, yeah, he even if he doesn't play well in a couple of games, he just has so much more time. That's definitely Sané's problem first and foremost. But yeah, it's also going to mean pressure for Musiala anyway, of course, because watching Choupo-Moting in this position was not great. With Gnabry gone, he can also not play in the middle then, of course. Maybe Goretzka, but also maybe not ideal, especially without Thomas Müller on the wing to bring in some of this creativity if he's not playing in the middle. So yeah, definitely Sané needs to step up, and I hope Musiala can surprise us all. Well, not hugely surprise us, of course, because we definitely think he's a great player. But outdo what we expect of him, basically. That would be great.
Yeah, like you said, it wouldn't be really a surprise to us, but maybe surprise sort of the rest of the world who didn't or may not kind of see him coming, which I definitely think he has the capability to. But for me, it's really just fingers crossed that Thomas Müller gets back because, you know, Lazio shouldn't be overlooked. No one gets to the Champions League by accident. No one makes it to the round of 16 by accident. But I do think that Bayern should have Lazio if we have a full strength squad. But that's all the time that we have for this episode. If you have enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a couple ways you can do that. The first is you can email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com, or you can simply follow us on Twitter @superbayernpod and keep up to date and get in touch with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.